And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time here. Hey, listen, text lines are still open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Couple of text messages in here. Tony from Piedmont. Think I can accurately predict that Vivek Ramaswamy will be the head of the pack of the Keebler Evils. I don't know what that means, but okay. I guess he's talking about the elves. Oh, evils. I get it. Elves, evils. Okay. Okay. He may be. Right now, Ramaswamy is in some polls. And by the way, some polls are called outliers. They're not all the prime polls. But there are some polls showing that he's gaining on DeSantis for the number two spot, certainly in number three in several. I just think he resonates well. He comes across as being solid and the ability to convey a straight-up opinion, and he's got youthful vitality. Anyway, we'll see what happens with Ramaswamy. That's not, by the way, an endorsement of any kind. I'm just saying that guy's sharp as a tack. JR from Rogersville, apparently you did not hear my monologue earlier in the show because JR from Rogersville sent me a great text about Ross Perot, making sure that I knew all the things that I said earlier in my monologue. Yeah, he said, I'm very aware. He says he personally financed and assisted the organization of a team that got U.S. citizens out of Iran. So that was my monologue today. So, yeah, JR, thank you very much. I appreciate it, and you are correct. There's that. Crazy Joe from Decatur. He just sends me memes all the time. You notice that? Crazy Joe doesn't type anything. He just sends me a picture.
I like that.
Okay.
He just has the memes to go for everything.
And he sent me something about chess, Garry Kasparov. There would be no game of chess if the pawns refused to play. That's very interesting. All right, David from Huntsville. Ross Perot has a legacy of amplifying the Democrat Party with the Clintons, leading to the Obamas and the Bidens. He actually gave us the voodoo economics, courtesy of the Democrat Party. Well, and I guess that's David's referral to the fact that Ross Perot jumped in the race as a third-party candidate, and that's seen as the reason why Bush 1 did not win a second term and we got Clinton. So, yeah. What else we got here? Ryan from Hazel Green. I'd love to see Ramaswamy as Trump's running mate and then see him as a primary in 2028. That's very interesting. I don't know where it'll be. Here's the thing. In my opinion, that dude has earned a cabinet level position. He's on the national stage making a difference. And his name ID is not, I mean, like, name ID is everything in politics. You got to get name ID, name ID, name ID. People got to know who you are. They got to recognize your name. Trump is a name everybody knows. You can see a caricature and you know that's Trump. You can see a profile, that's Trump. People recognize him. People know his name. Ramaswamy, not so much. So you talk about a guy that's making a difference in the primaries with zero name ID before it started. I mean, he was just known as a pundit. He was known as a guy who came out of Silicon Valley and was sick of wokeness and wrote a book called Woke Inc., which I've got a copy of. And it's, you know, it's solid. And he's as, I mean, at first I looked at it, I thought, okay, it's one thing to come on and answer a few questions in an interview. It's another thing to write a book and it kind of, you know, says your opinions, but you're not challenged in it. Now I'm watching him out on the campaign trail, and people are hitting him with questions that you have to be able to respond and think quick on your feet. And at the same time, that's how you find out where people's depth is. When you're caught off your talking points, then you find the depth. And so far, Ramaswamy has been holding up. He's had a couple of great ones lately, especially that one with Neil Cavuto. If you haven't seen it, it's out on social media right now. Ramaswamy and Neil Cavuto. Cavuto was determined to make him anti-Trump, and Ramaswamy wasn't buying into it. In fact, he kept bringing it back around and explaining why what we're seeing right now is actually a travesty of justice. All right, all of that is to say that we are now moving forward. We're going to hit Dipper number two here in a minute after the break. The library wars. Did you ever think for a second that the place where you used to go as a kid, so proud to have a library card, Dewey Decimal System, pick up the book, take it home. You're trusted to get a book and take it with you and bring it back. Yeah, all that. Now it's the library wars. centerpiece of the culture war. Crazy. We'll talk about it in a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative. Just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful. I say the most beautiful. I'm saying the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. I mean, we covered down some major ground. Like, we go way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. Yeah. Hey, listen, I got to tell you, too, by the way, during the break, you hear ads playing? Well, that's for a reason. Right Side Radio, we are a standalone business. We're not owned by the stations that you hear us on. We are a business unto ourselves, and we send our signal to them. But we have to sustain our business operations like any other does, and one of the ways we do that is by selling ads. If you listen to this show and you're thinking, man, those guys talk like I talk, they think like I think, I want my business aligned with them because I know other people like me are listening, well, then we'd love to have you. And the way it works is you don't call the station because you have to call us. So go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Lots of stuff on there. You can order T-shirts on there. You can look at our recommended reading list. You can find the op-eds that I write every week are all on there. But one of the things you'll also find is a place where it says advertising and contact. You go on that tab, send us a message. Tell us you want to advertise on Right Side Radio. We will get back in touch with you ASAP, and we'd love to have you on the team. Yeah, advertising on Right Side Radio, go to rightsideradio.org. We'll square you away. All right, I am starting the next section. This one is just really kind of bizarre. I mean, how many of y'all as kids saw the library as that safe, quiet place where you got to go and pick out a book, and it was just kind of cool because you had your very own library card? Maybe you had one in your school that you used to haunt, you know, and it was always a place where, shh, you don't make noise, you know, be respectful, put the book where you found it, use the Dewey Decimal System. I mean, I loved libraries as a kid. I would ride my bike to the library. I mean, I was a prolific reader as a kid. For me, it was always things like Hardy Boys Mysteries and Doc Savage and, you know, and I loved little mystery books like Encyclopedia Brown, if you've ever seen those. And then I started getting into things like reading James Michener. I love the Centennial, Michener's, you know, just classic book. And then Chesapeake, he wrote that one. Oh, my gosh. And then I found Tom Clancy. And I mean, and then I realized you could, as I began to drive and I was driving back and forth to college and stuff, I realized you could check out books on audio, and I listen to books while driving. And I've been a prolific reader all my life. Love libraries. When did libraries become the centerpiece of the culture wars? How did this happen? Well, it's because nothing's sacred anymore with the woke. Nothing is sacred. I mean, if you start looking around and realizing that, you know, churches are flying rainbow flags and libraries are hosting drag queen story hour, and you know that you think it okay. Is there nothing that's allowed to be traditional or culturally non-divisive? Is it necessary for everything to be woke? Well, we're just trying to be inclusive and progressive and take you into the next step. No, you're not. You're trying to make it liberal, woke. You're trying to make it anti-Christian. Let's be honest. You're trying to do everything you can to tear down the fabric of what made this country strong because you don't like it. And it's not like a little bit. Like, it's become an organized thing. The American Library Association. Go figure that a group of librarians would become controversial. But they are. Here's one piece that I've got from 1819 News. The story came out yesterday. So the new head of the American Library Association is a self-identified Marxist lesbian. That's what she calls herself. I'm a Marxist lesbian. Wow. Okay, no identity politics here. Criticism of the ALA, it says, has been growing nationwide. In Alabama, an effort is underway to remove all state affiliations with the association. We are not the only state, by the way. Multiple states are sick to death of the wokeness being promoted by the American Library Association, which, by the way, is the accrediting authority for public libraries. Really? Oh, yeah. So when you see pride displays, when you see drag queen story hour, when you see don't let Kirk Cameron come to your library, when you see that kind of stuff going on, guess what? The majority of that is being promoted by the National American Library Association. The ALA openly promotes diversity, equity, and inclusion and seeks to, quote, apply a social justice framework to ALA strategic directions. Oh, boy. It has publicly supported the inclusion of books many parents have found to be sexually inappropriate for minors. And then there's Emily Drabinski. Emily Drabinski, recently elected as the newly elected president and self-proclaimed Marxist lesbian. Here's her quote. She was so excited when she got elected. Her tweet was, "I just cannot believe that a Marxist lesbian who believes that collective power is possible to build and can be wielded for a better world is the president-elect of the ALA," she said in a since-deleted tweet. Don't tell them who you are. Yeah, it's deleted now. But we've got Montana State Library Commission voting to withdraw. Texas has got a state representative that's appealed to the Texas State Library and Archives asking them to dissociate. But even with all of this going on, Drabinski's not backing down. So libraries, I mean, go figure, libraries. I mean, where you used to be able to, yeah, in fact, I just thought over here, Badger from Athens just texted, he said, we could check out vinyl records from our libraries in a small town in Ohio. Yes, you could. And that's also the place, by the way, when you don't have a computer, you can go and you can use their internet, you know, nowadays. It's supposed to be a safe place. How about this? New York Post has an article from September 10th of last year. Librarians go radical as new woke policies take over. What? Yes. It's a national thing. It's not like one or two. No. It's like become the hub. So libraries, it says, for decades, the ultimate safe spaces have become ground zero in the ongoing culture wars, with battles over banned books, drag queen story hours, and free access to porn raging all over the country. From Louisiana to Idaho to Washington State, as well as cities like New York and L.A. Says the average person, this is a quote from a guy named Dan Kleinman, he's a library watchdog, he calls himself. He says the average person has no idea of this, but librarians have been targeting children in recent years and trying to turn them into political activists. He documents what he calls the alarming radicalization of the nation's libraries. Now, that may sound like an extremist. Well, he's just saying that because he has an agenda. Okay, then let's just look at their words. Let's go back to Emily Drabinski again, the self-proclaimed Marxist lesbian who's now the head of the American Library Association. She said this, quote, "So many of us find ourselves at the end of our worlds. The consequences of decades of unchecked climate change, class war, white supremacy, and imperialism have led us here. If we want a world that includes public goods like a library, we must organize our collective power and wield it. The American Library Association offers us a set of tools that can harness our energies and build those capacities." Holy cow! Yeah, she's a Marxist. Did you hear that? Our collective power. And oh, by the way, white supremacy. And oh, by the way, imperialism. And oh, by the way, climate change and class war. Those are her words. So if the head of the accrediting body is talking like that, then pray tell, what is trickling down to the libraries throughout the nation? Yeah. Well, supporters of so-called woke libraries, as this article points out, just say they simply want their facilities to be more diverse and inclusive when it comes to gender and race ideology. Okay. Opponents, though, say that young children should not be exposed to books like "This Book is Gay" by Juno Dawson, or Gender Queer, or Lawn Boy, good Lord, which they say depict graphic illustrations of gay sex and are freely available to use at public libraries around the nation. Drag Queen Story Hour, started in 2015 in San Francisco, is now a mainstay at libraries in the U.S. and the U.K., where drag queens in full regalia perform for children as young as 2 and 3. At least 2 registered sex offenders were found to have been among the drag queens performing at a Houston public library in 2019, and yet the program is still going on. One guy who works in a library in a Western state who didn't want to be identified in the article, he says he gets to work early so he can get back to his workstation to avoid all the young librarians because he says they're insufferable. He said they're some of the most dangerous people in society. They're very well organized and they communicate very well. Libraries are lost. They are rotten to the core, he says. So much money's dumped into them by organizations with agendas. Really? Pray tell. Who is funding said libraries? Well, the American Library Association points out first began getting major funding in the 90s from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the George Soros Open Society, among other progressive organizations. They recently had a conference where they held different panels on things like addressing critical race theory challenges in your library and inspiring the next generation to champion social justice. I mean, this is the library, y'all. This is the place where I used to go get Hardy Boy books. And it's just absolutely, it's like I said before, it's like nothing is sacred anymore. That they are determined to remake society. And if you're bothered by this, you should be. Don't think for a second, well, I don't know if anybody else feels the same. A lot of us feel the same way. And as my lovely Charlene points out on a regular basis, there are more of us than there are of them. The fact is, though, they are willing to get active and they are willing to get into the people's business and they are willing to get loud, and we're going to have to do the same. That's why what happened most recently in Madison, Alabama, made national news. When a little bitty old group called Moms for Liberty decided to have Kirk Cameron and Riley Gaines come down and just, you know, speak about faith, family, and freedom. And it turned into a whole thing, didn't it? But you know what happened? The community turned out. At an event where they thought they might have 30 or 40 people, they had over 500. They had to use 2 locations. The library was freaking out. Law enforcement had to help with the crowd control. Counter-protesters came. But you know what? The community turned out. That's got to happen more often. And that was at a freaking library. A library. Well, listen, when we get back from this break, I'll tell you some more. Because if you think that that was the only event in Alabama, well, I got news. There's stuff. And yeah, we got more of this library wars. I see I had a caller on the line. I apologize. I didn't realize. We'll get him when we come back. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Yeah, making common sense a superpower. Hey, I gotta tell you, I'm gonna ask for some audience participation on something. I mean, you guys are great about. I mean, I got text lines that blow up, and like right now, I got a bunch I can't even get to yet. But here's the thing: in a little while, my third dipper is We Want Our Country Back. I want to hear from y'all. What, name one, name a piece of our culture, our country, something that you believe we've got to take back. Tell me why. Tell me what it is. Text it in. The number is 833-687-4448. Boomer's giving me the big thumbs up. He's like, I'm going to be asking you too then, Boomer.
I'll text mine in. Don't worry.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, great. I'll be sitting over going, and I've got a new text from Boomer. Somebody who held on for the longest time, because I didn't realize it was I had a caller on the line. My apologies to Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
No apologies needed. But as far as that future comment and everything,
yeah,
I want our history back.
Oh, that's good. That is real good. You're right. They're trying to just steamroll over history and pretend that certain things weren't there. All right, but that's not what you held on for. What else you got?
As far as everything goes, as far as the libraries and everything, I think the mothers out there and the association, we need people like you. And that's part of protecting history as well. And the library is a library. It's not generally an auditorium for anybody to come in. We go in. You can have scheduled events. Understood. But there's a place for that, and everybody shouldn't be sitting outside the building and being so mad about everybody else because they disagree with you. The books should reflect the history.
And I think they should also reflect the things that the community wants to see. And if the community doesn't want to see sexual content in the children's section, then they shouldn't have it in there.
It shouldn't be in the children's section. It should be in another section, should be covered up, and it should be checked by age, et cetera.
Yeah, absolutely. You are so correct. Right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
Have a good one, sir.
You too, man. Yeah, speaking of which, this is happening left and right. And there's multiple libraries in the state where we've seen questions about some of the content. Well, one of those that's been like an ongoing running gun battle is down in Prattville. So Prattville, just north of Montgomery, Prattville-Autauga Public Library. Well, parents have been going to the city council for like months, going down there and meeting with the city council and saying, okay, here's a book. And it was in the library, in the kids section. Why are we doing this? And yet you keep funding it. Well, Prattville Mayor Bill Gillespie just recently announced the city's 2024 fiscal year budget, which includes another $355,000 for the controversy-embroiled Prattville-Autauga Library, according to 1819 News Storyline Today. Says, for months, parents in Autauga County have expressed their concerns over the library's inclusion of dozens of sexually explicit books for minors. Here's the thing, y'all. As a radio guy, guys, Boomer and I, we sit here in the studio, right? Boomer has a magic button over there, the red button. What do we call that button, Boomer? It's
the dump button.
The dump button. It's a dump.
It's the dump button.
That button takes a dump. So anyway, yeah, the bottom line is we have a special button that if somebody says something on the air that can get us in trouble, actually get us fined, like heavy fines.
Like lots of dollars.
Oh, my gosh. So the FCC?
Mm-hmm.
The FCC monitors radio traffic, and if they believe that you said something that you shouldn't have said on the air, if you allowed profanity in or sexual content to go too far, then they'll fine you. That's why we have this magic red button so we can hit pause on anything. We have an 8-second delay going right now. And here's the thing. If these books that are in the kids section, if I can't read them on the air, then they shouldn't be in the children's section. It's just that simple. If I can't pick up a book in a public library and read it on my radio show, and some of the ones that I have heard cited are so explicit that you look at it and think, who selected this book? Which one of y'all thought this was a good idea? But yet they won't answer the question. And then you see somebody go to a city council member, like down here in Autauga County, the Prattville area, and they begin to read the excerpts, and it offends the board members or the council members, and they ask you to stop. I saw a guy the other day, and he was a black pastor, did it so well. He began reading the book. He had his 2 minutes before the council. He began reading the book, and they stopped him, and he said, "You hypocrites, this book is in the children's section, and you won't let me read it to you, but you won't take a stand against it being in that children's section?" Well, listen, the group down in Autauga County, they've launched their own organization. They call it Clean Up Alabama. And they decided they're going to address this issue in libraries across the state. And the library continues to violate state law and basic human decency, they say, by having children's access to porn and obscene materials. And these aren't prudes, by the way. These are serious books filled with content, sometimes with imagery, that you look at and go, it's got no place there. I got a little more on this. When we come back, we'll wrap up this section on library wars, and then I'm going to want to start hearing some content from you guys. We want our country back. What part are you thinking? We'll be right back. Side ruffians out there, you are listening to
you're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got local, we got state, we got national. We cover down on all the issues, and like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, hour number three, inexplicably, we're already in hour number three. Some of y'all can smell the barn, man. It's almost go-home time. So be careful on the roads out there and let us know if you see any things that are impeding traffic across the North Alabama area that we need to let everybody else know about. But in the meantime, let me move forward in this section I've got right now. I'm calling this the Library Wars. And I'm serious when I say I was a library kid, man. Now, I was the knothead kid who ran around barefoot and climbed trees and played superheroes and army soldiers and did all the things of rough and cut. But I loved to read. I also loved to read. Some of my biggest adventures came just from reading things like Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn. And I mentioned the Hardy Boys a while ago. I had the entire Hardy Boys series. And then, you know, we even read those to my son when he was little. And then my daughter, Nancy Drew, you know, it was wholesome. It was good. There was no questions. And by the way, there was also never any intent. And that's the thing. There's an actual intent right now in too many of our libraries to insert things that have an activist nature. I've got an article here from Georgia Public Broadcasting, and it's one of those broad articles that's not just talking about Georgia. But it's one of those you read and you go, okay, Chicken Little, stop crying about the sky is falling. It's not hard. You don't have to be a rocket surgeon to figure out how to do this. You just stop putting sexual content in the kids section. It's really that easy. Well, what does sexual content mean? Sexual content to you might mean something different. No, it really doesn't. And you know exactly what it is. And the Supreme Court once said with regards to, I think it was pornography and profanity, it's pretty easy. You can really just tell it when you see it. So here's the thing. This particular article, which is dated May of this year, the president of the Missouri Library Association says she's currently in a bit of a panic over strict new rules that may go into effect on May 30th, which could deny state funding to libraries over books that are deemed inappropriate for young readers. Missouri is one of a growing number of places where government funding is being deployed as the newest weapon in the fight over books. Wow. Well, so here's the deal. Lawmakers didn't pass a bill, but somehow or another, I don't know how it works, in Missouri law, the Secretary of State has some administrative authority over libraries. Okay. So he enacted an executive order or a rule. And under the new rule, libraries can lose their state funding, which, depending on which library you're talking about, could be 1% to 20% of their budget if they violate the rules. Pray tell, what are these draconian rules? What are these Nazis trying to portray? These jackbooted thugs coming in trying to do? Well, how about this? Libraries have to have strict new policies barring them from giving minors books that parents don't want them to read. Okay. Libraries must keep any age-inappropriate books away from areas meant for young readers. Okay. And they must clearly publicize how they select their books and how parents can challenge those choices. Okay. Also, at events at the library, including story hours, they must be labeled with age-appropriate designations in all their promotions. okay. How scary is that, really? I mean, how scary is it to just say, listen, we're part of your community, and we're paid for with your tax dollars. And parents, you know what? We're going to show you how we select the books, and here's how you can have lodge a formal complaint and challenge the books if you want to. And, you know, if you see something you think is bad, come tell us. And that's just what we're going to do. How hard is that? It's not hard, y'all. It's not hard at all. They want it to be hard, though. Liberals want everything. You can't, oh, you can't, you, why would you, oh my gosh. Well, so tying funding to books is being called draconian by some. But the reality is that's what we do, right? I mean, that's how highway dollars are. That's how school dollars are. But the uncertainty and the new reality that libraries suddenly face, the article says, makes them scared for their future. Shut up. One librarian says, I think we're all just in shock. It's not clear cut at all how in the world this is going to work. There's so much that could go wrong. There's also so much that could go wrong if you don't do this, if you don't care. Now, granted, I understand that people want to compare this to things like Hitler having public book burnings where you brought the book and you burned them in a big pile. We're not talking about that, not at all. In fact, what we're saying is content. If you noticed, in those rules, it didn't name any titles. It named content. That's the difference. What we're saying is don't do these things. We didn't say, give us that book. Now, it did give parents the right to say that book offends, and here's why. But it says attorneys for libraries advise that it's not possible to manage which individual parents are okay. Well, we know, yes, it is. You don't have to, by the way, every parent's feelings are not always going to be the same, and not every parent's going to complain rightfully, but they need to have a right of complaint. They do. If their tax dollars, if their late fees, if their, you know, booster club drives are helping support your library, then frickin' give them a voice. It's not hard. Deborah Caldwell Stone, director of the American Library Association's Office for Intellectual Freedom, God, what a Marxist-sounding organization, says any proposal to defund libraries is the nuclear option. It's an attack on education. It's an attack on the public good, and the idea is very much alive and gaining steam. Okay. Chicken Little again. In Texas, there is a bill that would defund public libraries that allow drag show story times. Okay. In Jamestown Township of Michigan, the Patmos Library is facing closure after voters shut it down, to shut down their local funding. In Arkansas, the Craighead County Library system saw its local funding cut in half after complaints about books and an LGBTQ exhibit. But the bottom line is, one Arkansas state senator said, that's why we vote. That's the American way. So the voters in that area said, we're tired of this. We're tired of it. And if you're going to give us a vote, we're going to tell you we're tired of it. And you know what? If you don't like the result, just remember, you're the one that built the issue. So library wars. So there's part of America. I mean, it just is. Libraries, they're part of America. Yes, so much is available online right now, but libraries are still special. I love the smell of old books, and I love the smell of a library, and you know, and going and having your own library card as a kid and being able to check out a book, or as an adult for that matter, check out a book and have access to things that maybe you wouldn't get otherwise. Or have a place where you can go and sit and work with your laptop because you don't have Wi-Fi at home. You know, these things are important. And I believe libraries are a necessity. They shouldn't have to be a culture war area. And people know what's decent. They do. They just don't want to admit it. And there's no reason why you would have sexually explicit books in the children's section. The only reason why you would do that is because you had chosen to dismiss the values and the mores of the culture in which you live. And we need to get our libraries back. All right, listen, we're going to take a break here in a second. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to number three on the triple dipper, but I want some input from you guys, all right? I'm calling this section, We Want Our Country Back. And I got a series of articles about things in our culture that I looked at and thought, gee, Manetti, we got to take it back. But I know there's things I'm forgetting. Like I already saw one of our listeners texted in, and I'll read it here in a minute, saying, I want children's movies back. Yes, I agree. Tell me what you think. What do you want to see us take back? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.